This is the Overclock Podcast, a weekly dose of video game music and conversation from OCRemix.org.
This week, we enjoy another varied Remix Rewind, have our second No Tune Unturned interview with retro game enthusiast Joe Walker, welcome Major Third back to the show for his second segment, and rock out to this week's playlist.
I don't understand what's going on.
Well, hello, everyone. You found our show again.
Oh, my gosh. It's very well hidden.
I guess the RSS feeds are working. Also, I sent everyone a map.
Yes, and a personal reminder that this week's show is out.
Yes. Well, you got to forgive them for not thinking we're going to put a show out. We're sometimes bad about that.
So you didn't mention you are our host, Stephen. Hello, Stephen.
Yes. Hi. And you're my co-host, Brian.
Yes, exactly. So how have you been recently? What's been going on?
I'm enjoying this rainy day. I actually just put on all of my music sorted by 5 stars just to play as I was driving around, because I just was in the mood to listen to all my best music.
Yes.
And it was very, very lovely time.
What was the best song you heard?
Might have been, I don't remember which song it is, but it's from Nights into Dreams.
Mm.
It's, I can't remember the title of it, but it's the one that's like a super laid back instrumental remix of the theme song.
Oh, right. I don't remember the title of that either.
Yeah.
But that's cool. Yeah, for me, it's mostly been going through Final Fantasy VII and VIII soundtracks.
Oh, yeah. Continue.
I'm also on a journey to get through those because I'm going to Journey to Distant Worlds, the Final Fantasy concert this weekend, which is why
gosh.
We need to record early.
And I am going to the same concert, but on a different day.
Yeah, exactly.
In a different month.
I'm going to San Antonio to see it, and I'm excited. I'm having to catch up because I did not grow up listening to the Final Fantasy soundtracks. So kind of doing my homework on it. It seems like most of the stuff is like from 7 and 8 and before. So I think I'm about caught up.
Really?
For what I'll
need. I could have sworn that they said they're going to play 12, 7, and 6 specifically.
Maybe as like get an old set list.
So if you're going to try to go all the way up to 12.
Yeah, that I'm not going to make. I think I'll make it through 9 at least.
Well, that's when it stops mattering.
Whoa, really? You don't like 11 or 12?
Okay, look. I've only listened up to 11.
Okay.
I really like 11 quite a bit. I don't like 10 at all.
Okay.
But it's just not the same. It doesn't have the same, I don't know. It doesn't have the same vision and consistency and beauty that Uematsu brought. But you know what? 12 was actually a single composer, not just like a hodgepodge, if you will. So maybe it'll have more of a consistent tone that tells a story.
Maybe Steven's just a dunderhead.
I am, but I could also be right.
You could also, stop clock and all that. All right. Well, speaking of clocks, let's move on to this week's Remix Rewind.
It's like rewinding. You don't rewind a clock.
I don't know how you use clocks, man, but I do all the time.
I never want to play Animal Crossing with you again.
We're going on to the Remix Rewind.
Let's look at the fun.
Hi. Are you having a nice day? Well, too bad, because it's time to second-guess human nature and your own sanity with Pooh Freak's Chrono Trigger Remix from Badass Volume 3. Classic SNES JRPGs aren't mashed together with the tone of serial-killing Dexter on the regular, but what can I say? It's a marriage made in hell.
Invoking crackling fires and a twilight shore, newcomer Outset Initiative brings us Valu's Honor, a down-tempo and serene arrangement of Wind Waker's Dragon Roost Island. Valu would be honored by the mix, I think.
If he's not too busy having his tail pinched by a mutant Goma, of course. Patrick Burns takes us back to the good old days, aka the Game Boy Advance. Village Beautification in 5-4 is a feel-good tribute to Golden Sun, and all those words that I just said are perfect descriptors for it. In case it wasn't clear, remixer Rotaka really likes those Souls games. But if March's Bloodborne arrangement wasn't evidence enough, he's back to prove his love with Knight and Executioner, a symphonic tribute that does ample justice to its source. Thank you.
Shnabubala is back with a live piano rendition of Shenmue called Having Risen, the Phoenix Stops for a Spot of Tea. And by live piano rendition, I mean he played what you're hearing right now on a live stream. Live, on a stream even. That's pretty cool, and so is this remix.
To hear these remixes and more, head over to ocremix.org.
Welcome back to our second installment of the No Tune Unturned interview, the interview segment where we bring random people off the streets. That maybe came out wrong, but we bring people somewhat unrelated to the video game music scene and learn about the music that's most important to them. Brian, of course, as with most of our interviews, has gotten lost somewhere in the suburbs, so he's not going to be here. But you know who is? Our old pal, Joe Walker of Space Cap fame. Hello, Joe.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
That even rhymed. Welcome to the show, Joe. I find that funny.
I try to make things, nice and convenient for people who are, hosting podcasts, I guess, on.
Well, you have an easy name. It's not hard. So, Joe, let's start with a little intro on who you are and what it is you do.
Well, I run a YouTube channel called Space Kappa. I started it about 4 years ago, mm-hmm. almost. I started with just a show called The Backlog that was about obscure and forgotten retro games that were still cheap and easy to find.
Yeah.
But since then, I've expanded the scope a little bit, and, I talk about games new and old. I just try to do everything with a, positive and upbeat spin to it because, there's a lot of negativity in games today, and games are supposed to be fun. So, I'm just always trying to find fun and interesting games to talk about.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about it. We try to do that with as many projects as we can. Keep it positive and then and creative and give people new ideas to digest. And I feel like that's one of the things you do really well. So, and you've actually been on our old video game music podcast, Train Station at 8, before. We go back a little whiles.
Back to Nintendo Life.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Yeah. We both wrote for Nintendo Life for a while. And bringing it a full circle, Nintendo Life recently spotlighted a Twilight Princess arrangement from one of our previous guests, Rebecca Tripp, which I was very happy to see. So everyone knows everyone, and it is
the internet is very small.
Yes, apparently. So, Joe, you want to talk to us about Final Fantasy Tactics soundtrack.
Yeah, you messaged me asking if I was interested in being on the show and to pick a soundtrack, and the first one that came into my head was Final Fantasy Tactics.
And that was a really interesting pick because I honestly don't hear people talk about this game soundtrack that much. Maybe I'm just crazy and not in the Final Fantasy circles, but I actually had never heard it before. So I went out and bought it and listened to it a couple of times. So already expanding my mind. So that's what we're going to talk about for the majority of the No Tune Unturned interview. But before we do that, I've got a few rapid-fire questions to ask you.
Sure, hit me with them.
I'm curious. Let's get to know you a little bit, Joe.
All right.
What are some of your favorite soundtracks? Give us some context. Some favorite game soundtracks.
So aside from Final Fantasy Tactics, my other two favorite game soundtracks are Super Mario 64. And Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. Three very different soundtracks.
And those are both excellent, both in my library. I actually thought you were going to bring Super Mario 64, since I knew you liked that so much.
Yeah, I thought that would be a little bit too predictable, so I did want to mix it up a little
bit. That's what our last guest did. He was going to bring, what was it, Sonic 2, and ended up with Guardian Heroes instead.
Oh, wow, so, yeah, that's a big swing.
Yeah, I know. But they're both Sega, or at least on Sega consoles. Cool. Well, that's a very good answer. What about games? Like, are those also some of your favorite games, or are those different?
Super Mario 64 is my favorite game of all time.
Okay. Good choice.
Final Fantasy VII is my favorite Final Fantasy game, but Tactics is right up there. I fell in love with it, when I played it when I was in eighth grade, which was 1998 for those of you keeping track at home. Which I guess is probably not very many people, but I had rented it and I asked for it as an eighth grade graduation present from my mom, and she got it for me, and I spent all summer playing it. I absolutely loved it. I had never really played a strategy RPG other than Shining Force 2 on the Sega Genesis.
Okay.
And I just dove right in, and the game just consumed me.
So I mean, it's probably extremely obvious to even people who haven't played the game, but Final Fantasy Tactics is a Final Fantasy Tactics game.
Yeah, you know, grid-based movement, you know, selecting your moves from a menu, you gotta keep track of where everybody is on the map. I believe it was actually designed by some of the people who designed the Tactics Ogre series, but I may be wrong about that.
And, you know, I believe Sakimoto, or Hitoshi Sakimoto, who did the soundtrack to this game, or at least a lot of it, also worked on the Ogre games. So
yes.
That kind of ties together. So I guess give me some context on the genre. I've never played it, but I played a lot of Fire Emblem. Like, what would you say the main differences between them are?
Well, Final Fantasy Tactics, you do have a 3D map. The characters are all still sprite-based. Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty cool. Using the shoulder buttons on the PlayStation controller, you can rotate the battlefield 360 degrees to see where you're at, because you do have kind of an isometric view.
Mm-hmm.
So then you also have, you know, height advantages you need to worry about. So it's not a completely flat plane like in Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
So there's things like, you know, hills and rocks and houses and castles and,
that's cool.
You know, all different kinds of things you can use to, you know, work to your advantage. And the game is designed very well around all of it. So
it's not just stand in grass or stand in forest for various
right, right.
stat boosts. Okay.
And you have, you know, different units that have different, you know, movement abilities. Like you have, and they're all the classic Final Fantasy job classes. So you have dragoons, black mages, white mages. So then you have dragoons who can jump to any height. So if you have a castle that's, you know, 16 squares high, uh-huh. they can just jump right up to the top. Like,
oh,
it's
that's
no big
rad.
Deal. Yeah. They're one of the best, or one of my favorite classes in the game.
That sounds really fun. I actually plan to check that out at some point. As most people are probably tired of hearing by now, I'm, dedicated to work my way through the entire Final Fantasy series and at least try almost every game and listen to their soundtracks. I plan to go back to some of the side series, you know, like 10-2 and Tactics afterwards. And Tactics is like number one on my list for that. So that should be fun.
Yeah, it's a really, really great game. And it got two sequels. It got Final Fantasy Tactics Advance on the Game Boy Advance, obviously, and then Final Fantasy Tactics A2 on the DS. Which are both good games, but they didn't really kind of capture the magic of the original PlayStation game.
So how was that magic captured in what we're here to, I guess, mostly address, the soundtrack? Why did you choose this one above the other games and above every other game in existence, as it were?
Well, I mean, it's funny that I'm on a music podcast when I say that I'm not really a music guy. Like, I don't know a lot of musical terms. I couldn't carry a tune if I had a bucket.
Well, we're in the same boat, and that's kind of the point of this particular brand of interview. We want to just hear from, you know, people outside of this, you know, very small community, you know, just to hear your history, your experience, just why you like it.
Yeah, it's just I think it was the first game soundtrack that I really noticed, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
the music kind of caught me and I was like, oh, this is really good. It just fits the world so perfectly, and Hitoshi Sakimoto has done, because Final Fantasy Tactics takes place in a world called Evilise, which a few other games have taken place in, like the other Tactics games, Final Fantasy XII, and Vagrant Story. I was trying to remember
the name
of the
game.
And he's done the music for all of them, so
that's cool.
Really is kind of part of the character of the world of Evilise and all these other games.
I actually had no clue that was the case, and I did a little bit of research.
Yeah, they went on to tie the games all together later under the name Evilise Alliance, kind of the way they did the compilation of Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
But yeah, he was the guy for all of them.
So you mentioned that Final Fantasy VII is your favorite Final Fantasy game, right?
Yes.
And so Tactics is one of your favorite soundtracks. Was the PlayStation era your intro into the series?
Yeah, it was actually my intro into RPGs.
Oh, okay. Even more important.
Yeah, because I had an NES and then I had a Sega Genesis, and the Sega Genesis did not really have a great RPG library.
Yeah. It was extremely limited. It's actually kind of hilarious how different that was from the SNES.
Yeah.
So are there any like highlights of it for you on a track by track basis, or is it more of the general sound and experience?
For me, it's more of the general sound and experience, because Hitoshi Sakamoto's work has a very distinct quality to it. And again, it's really hard for me to describe because I don't know a lot of musical terms, but I think just the way he uses, just, you know, strings and percussion together, it has a very distinct sound. Like, you kind of know it's him.
Definitely. And I haven't really listened to a lot of Sakamoto's, other works, but this one, well, it reminded me of Fire Emblem. It kind of has that, you know, that quality that you sometimes get from Japanese military games, the ones that focus on the war, especially in a more medieval time period. It has, you know, some decent percussion, some drums, of course, some horns, and it all sounds, a lot of it sounds vaguely menacing, but also hopefully exciting, you know what I mean?
Right, and it fits the tone of the game, because, you know, you're used to battle music in games being, like, really exciting and pumping you up and making you feel like a hero about to tear through the enemy army. Mm-hmm. but the battle music in this game really fits the mood because it's heavy, because the battles are long. The battles can take 15, 20, 30 minutes to beat, mm-hmm. and you're most of the time you're outnumbered, you're surrounded. So the music fits that. The music feels heavy. It feels like it's weighing you down with the battle. It makes the battle feel like the slog that you're going to have to get through, because it's not going to be an easy fight.
Also, not bad at all, virtual instruments for the time. It won't fool you, but it's not even slightly jarring, which is pretty impressive. I feel like if you go back to Final Fantasy VII, it's actually a lot rougher. I guess this game was after VII?
Yeah, this game came out, I think, because Final Fantasy VII came out in 1997. I think this was early 1998.
Okay, so it was close.
Yeah.
Yeah, hot on the heels.
Now, have you listened to the Final Fantasy XII soundtrack?
Next on my list. I'm actually through my second listen of 11 right now.
All right, because it's also by Hitoshi Sakamoto. You know, it's also an Evilise game, and it's also really, really good. And it was nice to, you know, hear his music and his style in a mainline Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's almost like this pseudo preview for what I'm going to hear next.
Right.
Yeah, that's neat. So I guess kind of to wrap it all around, it stuck with you for so long because largely it was the first soundtrack you kind of really entered your heart, if you will, right?
Right.
Has your viewpoint on this game changed at all through the years? Have you grown to love it more or less as the years have fallen away into the past?
You know, I go back and revisit it every few years. It's funny, when I was playing it as a teenager, because the story is, it's kind of like a political drama, political thriller, a lot of, you know, noble families backstabbing each other. Uh-huh. So I guess, you know, going back to the Game of Thrones comparison. So when I was a teenager, it didn't make any sense to me, and the bad translation didn't help much. And going back and playing it again about a year and a half ago to do a video on it with my buddy Norm, a gaming historian, the story still didn't make any sense to me, but I still found myself enjoying the game even more than I did when I was a teenager.
That's cool. It's actually kind of a rare thing, I feel, to go back to a game that you played years ago and have gained an appreciation for it, rather than feeling like you're just revisiting it, or in some cases, like it's not up to your memories.
Yeah, I mean, you're lucky now to go back and just kind of feel relief, like, okay, whew, this game is still as good as I remember it.
Yeah.
But to go back and enjoy it even more is pretty awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But awesome. So any like closing thoughts for the soundtrack before we part ways?
I think that if people are Final Fantasy fans and this is a game or a soundtrack they skipped over, it's definitely worth investigating, because it's different yet familiar. I mean, the game, it takes Final Fantasy new direction, but it still keeps the core of what makes Final Fantasy so exciting and so beloved by so many over the years.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see, you know, these familiar things like Moogles and Black Mages and all this stuff in a new setting, in a new gameplay style.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Joe, for, you know, spending some time to talk about this. I'm really glad you pointed it out, because I now have a new soundtrack to go back to in my library.
Yeah, I'm glad to do it. I mean, when people ask me, you know, about game soundtracks, this is always the one that stuck with me, so I'm really glad to have another opportunity to talk about it.
Me too. That's awesome. So if people want to find out more about you on the internet, where can they do that?
You can find me on Twitter @SpaceKappa, and my YouTube channel is youtube.com/SpaceKappa, so it's real easy to remember.
Excellent. Well, thanks again, Joe.
All right, thanks for having me.
Donkey Kong Country is a weird game. It's a combination of so many different influences and companies that it's a miracle it's any good at all. A small British developer creating a platformer based on a pivotal but stagnant Japanese franchise using a new and untested technology. And yet, these disparate forces created not only a classic game that revitalized the Donkey Kong franchise, but also made one of the best and most unique soundtracks in the video game music world. First, a brief history of the game. The original Donkey Kong was Nintendo's first arcade hit in the West, and Shigeru Miyamoto's big break. The classic spawned sequels Donkey Kong Jr., Donkey Kong 3, and 10 years after Donkey Kong 3, Donkey Kong for the Game Boy. These were all Japanese developed and feature music from various Japanese composers. But in 1993, development began on a big shift for the series with Donkey Kong Country by the UK-based developer Rare. Nintendo was impressed by a demo Rare made using the pre-rendered CGI look the game is now famous for, so they bought a major chunk of the company and asked them to make a game. Tim and Chris Stamper, the founders of Rare, said they wanted to make a Donkey Kong game, and Nintendo gave them the green light. Donkey Kong Country was composed by David Wise, with Evelyn Fisher and Robin Beanland doing some additional music work. Wise was Rare's primary composer for all of their games from 1985 to 1994, and he made a lot of somewhat overlooked gems with his work on the Wizards and Warriors and Battletoads series. His primary musical inspirations are from early 80s synthesized movie scores, and you can hear that influence all throughout Donkey Kong Country. The game starts with an homage to the Donkey Kong theme from the original arcade and NES game, complete with imitation chiptune sounds, then turns into a hip-hop remix. In 1994, this showed that the series was entering a new era. Nowadays, it's just a stunning reminder that the game was made in the 90s. Not long after starting the game, you hear easily the biggest track, DK Island Swing. DK Island Swing is three songs in one. David Wise confirmed this in an interview, saying that there were three demos for Jungle Music that he concatenated into one track. The section people remember best is the middle section with the iconic melody. But it starts with a drum break highly reminiscent of the jazz standard Sing 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 by Louis Prima, and most famously performed by Benny Goodman. The layering keeps up until smoothing out until just the bass drums and a kind of clavichord sound come in for the main section. The melody only plays through once before going into an ethereal and far less jazzy section. Despite not being the upbeat jump-off point, this last section is far more indicative of the game's soundtrack than the more famous middle section. With all the incredible melodies strewn about the game, it's easy to forget that most of the tracks in the game are primarily repeated arpeggios and building synths and pads. For every bonus room blitz, there's a Voices of the Temple, these pad-filled synth film score-inspired tracks featuring the stages themselves. A major influence I can hear is Vangelis, the composer for Chariots of Fire and Blade Runner. Lots of different notes fill up the space created by the pads swelling in and out, usually followed by a pan flute sample to keep the score from feeling too science fiction. I like to imagine Rare spent a lot of money on the pan flute sample because they certainly got their money's worth, as it's in almost every track. There's industrial influences as well to match the setting of some of the later levels in the game, though the sequel has even more industrial influences. DKC 2 will probably get its own episode at some point. Misty Menace has a bit of this, with clanging sound effects as the drums. Life in the Mines is the standout industrial track, as it has various noises to create a rhythm with relatively static notes in the forefront until the repeated synth bass and drums kick in. What While DK Island's swing is easily the most influential and long-lasting melody, among the video game music crowd, the standout track is Aquatic Ambience. With 16 OC remixes, it's the fan favorite. And it's not hard to hear why. All the elements that make the DKC score great are present. The subtle percussion with a muffled bass line create a calm but intense mood. And there's even a singable melody on top of all that. The A section has this eerie building synth string line that slowly climbs. At one point, it just kind of builds as everything else falls out. The line holds just a little too long, and it always gives me goosebumps. It's strange to have a piece as beautiful and poignant as this one, featured in a game about a monkey and an ape fighting crocodiles to save bananas. But here we are. Donkey Kong Country is just the first in a series of incredible game soundtracks. David Wise returned for the most recent entry, Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, and he's still got it. The ambient mood with singable melodies is a difficult balance to hit, but the Donkey Kong Country games rise to the occasion. And this 1994 original started it all. It revamped and rebooted Donkey Kong, and it gave us one of the best soundtracks on the SNES. And listen well.
Wow, what a show it has been, Steven. What a show.
Yeah, we've been recording for 5 minutes.
This is a weird show.
You got to think about it, listeners around the globe. Our actual time, quote unquote, in studio is very brief these days since we don't have the secret song segment.
It's mostly pre-recorded interviews.
Yeah, but it's nice. We split the work up.
Exactly. And I look forward to hearing those pre-recorded interviews for the first time when I put the show together.
Yeah, so this was like the second No Tune Unturned interview in a row. We did it a little bit differently this time. Kind of changed it the way I asked questions.
Yeah.
Kind of kept it a little more focused, maybe. Let me know if you like this one. I've been getting a lot of good feedback on the OCR forums, which I have not had time or the ability to implement yet because this was actually recorded before I asked opinions.
Yes.
But still, I want to know what you think about these new interviews.
Absolutely. And if you have other thoughts, you can shoot them over to us at our Twitter, OCR Podcast, or email us at podcast@ocremix.org. We've been continuing to get in some wonderful emails, and we would love to continue getting more. Also, if you want to find more remixes and everything else that Overclocked Remix does, check out ocremix.org. And if you want to find everything else we do in terms of podcasting and internet stuff, check out Whales Are Whales.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's all. Have a good day. Let's listen to the playlist, folks.
Boy, howdy. The playlist is a weekly collection of recommendations so we can all discover music together. This week's theme is hard rock.
Death Ruins from Shadow the Hedgehog and submitted by Square Evil. We'll be right back.
Stage 1 Desert Theme from Hardcore Uprising and submitted by Kyle J. CRB. Twisted Reality from Guitaro Man and submitted by the MDisc Playlist Podcast. I'm a little demon pampas. No man has this of another not to get the joke. Are you joke or the blow? Or two or three? No, you'll be the next to hear from me. Overdrive! Second battle theme from Drakengard 3 and submitted by Zachary.
Uncontrollable from Xenoblade Chronicles X and submitted by Mike.
Light of the Toyota from Jets and Guns and submitted by Sid.
Boss Battle Big Arm from Sonic Generations and submitted by me.
lift you up from Outrun to SP and submitted by me.
Been listening to the Overclocked Podcast. Next week's playlist is weird music. What's the absolute weirdest song you can think of? And Katamari is automatically disqualified. Too easy. To submit your suggestions or just say, how goes it, good fellows? Hit us up on Twitter at OCR Podcast, email us at podcast@ocremix.org, or visit us on the forums at ocremix.org. This week's lyrical wisdom?
Na-na, na-na-na-na-na, na-na, Katamari Damacy. Na-na, na-na-na-na-na, na-na, Katamari Damacy. Na-na, na-na-na-na-na, na-na, Katamari Damacy. Na-na, na-na-na-na-na, na-na, Katamari Damacy.